Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it is Carrie Oberbrunner and I have with me a very special guest. In fact, we were just chatting before we started and I cannot wait to hear about these things. So we have Gordon and it's Buffton. Tell us a little bit about where you came from and how you relate with blockchain and NFTs and all this good stuff.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Carrie. It's truly a pleasure. And I am super, super, super optimistic about this space and yes. NFTs, and they are going to change the future. So we will dive into all that fun stuff. But who am I? How do I show up in the world? Those are some of my favorite questions. Yes. I just label myself these days as a creator, a serial entrepreneur, and humanitarian. Because all my projects from a creation standpoint, like, have to do about raising the consciousness. Ooh. A lot of it focuses on, what we call is create 360, and it's taking a 360 degree approach to humans, right? Like lots of people are talking about mental well-being or physical, but not many people are talking about spirituality as well as emotions, as well as biohacking, as well as tech. You know, we have all these tools and very few people are doing it. So we're in the process of creating a whole new category called create 360, just taking that whole 360 approach. Ooh. Right? Because it doesn't matter if you're like the most successful entrepreneur in the world and you have cancer. You're flying around the world on jets and, you know, your family hates you.
Right.
And this is one of the things I love most about the friend who connected us, Justin. Yes. Like, I was literally at a mastermind retreat with Justin in Cabo and he left a day early. And like, this is just like, this is April of 2020, right? So it was the first trip for all of us. Most of the people were YPO members as well. And he's like, I need to go. I need to go a day early because my wife is struggling with her daughter. And so he does. And like, so grateful he was able to do that because like his next week was just complete chaos with family issues. And, you know, had he not been there, you know, but that for me is somebody living their core values, right? Wow. They know what their genius 360 life looks like. And they're living it out. And
that's so good. So he was able to basically in a moment of truth say, most important, I need to be with my family at this time. I love it.
And we're all on this trip. Like, it's the most fun any of us have had in years because we hadn't traveled and most of us are speakers and authors. So it was,
yes.
And he's like, nope, my family's more important. That's my core value. And I don't have any kids and I'm not married. I'm not sure I would have been able to make the same decision. Mm,
yes. Well, good for Justin. You have this fascinating approach about what's coming in February, what's coming in June, your NFT collection, your book. I'm an author. I'm a publisher. I just cannot wait to. In fact, I just minted a client's NFT 20 minutes ago. First NFT ever. And she's a mathematician and she's a book author with math. But I just geek out, man. I geek out in the space. So tell us.
Yeah.
Tell
so one other thing to kind of like get us to where we are right now. I have had the privilege of traveling around the world the last 2.5 years.
During the pandemic.
Yeah. So I have basically lived out of Airbnbs for the last 2.5 years. And I just spent last year in Central and South America, 2020 I spent in Europe. And so I have a Canadian passport, which makes travel a little bit easier.
Sure.
And so it's been absolutely incredible to travel, which has really given me drastically different eyes and experiences, not only of the whole pandemic. And I've, you know, been a, I don't know, we'll just say I've worked from home or from my laptop since full time since I was 26. So it's at 7 years now. So for me, it wasn't that difficult to shift from, you know, say an office or something to this world. So I was able to do it a lot faster than most. But, you know, like I tell people, I'm like, just give me a Wi-Fi connection and a couple hours a day. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, some of my friends call me the modern day Tim Ferriss. And I'm like, eh.
There you go. You're a wandering digital nomad. I love it. Tell me how you met Justin. Just curious. Justin Donald, one of our clients.
So Justin and I were in a mastermind called Selfless Givers.
Okay.
And so we started that group right around the start of the pandemic, March, April, not even like really realizing what was happening.
Mm.
And then, so we were meeting every Friday during the, no, sorry, every second Friday during the pandemic. And then this year, since we, all of us have so much stuff going on, we're meeting once a month. But we have a call on Friday all about NFTs. So,
oh, that's good.
So that's good. So I'll invite you to that, Carrie.
Did you know Justin just launched his NFTs? Mm-hmm. We okay, yeah.
Yep. That's how we connected, because he,
that's right.
He brought me to that event, and then
yes,
we were in the chat.
Perfect. That's right. That's right. Now it's all coming back. I just have met in the last 3 weeks since the start of the podcast. I've met so many people. Sometimes I'm doing three interviews a day, because I love this. I love this. So tell us about Miami, the mayor, yep, February, whatever, you know, some stuff might be private. You don't need to share that, but whatever you can share us.
Yep. So I have been studying the NFT space, not for super long. I mean, I remember Gary launching V's Friends,
yes,
and some of those projects. We'll say, what was it? He launched that May 11th, 2021. Mm-hmm. So let's say like the start of 2021.
Yeah.
You know, I've been investing in crypto for a couple of years now, mm-hmm, and following that. Like I remember in 2013 when I launched my first book, Eluding Reality, my buddy's like, look at this Bitcoin stuff. And I'm like, this is never going to amount to anything. Like at that time, I was parking cars. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So like I'm doing valet parking cars, speaking in schools during the day and parking cars at night. And I'm like, man, Bitcoin's not going to be anything. And God, had I only bought a couple of thousand or $1,000 back then, obviously. So, you know, I've followed crypto, but I'm Carrie pretty much. I can turn on my laptop and I can turn on my iPhone, but that's the extent of my technical knowledge.
Yes.
And
that's
so
encouraging for our audience, because a lot of our audience feels that way.
Yeah. I'll tell a story when we get a little bit deeper into like my second NFT purchase to somewhat do the breadcrumb for the story. Like my second NFT purchase was a fake NFT. You know,
and
so
that's common. I mean, that can
we'll change that. Yeah. So it's been really, really fascinating to watch cryptocurrency, to watch NFTs, and where my experience is I am really good at building communities.
Mm.
And building masterminds. So I run a couple of different masterminds. You know, I am in, like we were just talking before we got on, Strategic Coach. I'm a member of Strategic Coach.
Yes.
I've been to Genius Network events.
Oh, yeah.
I, you know, have spoken at YPOEO all around the world. So I think masterminds are, I'll never forget reading, I'm totally drawing a blank on
Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill.
Think and Grow Rich I was 20 years old. I just got in and out of rehab. So I just spent 3 months in rehab and the previous 3 months going in and out of psych wards. Wow. And I remember for my 21st birthday, my mom's like, what do you want? And we were just, you know, moving, and my parents had just separated. And I'm like, I want this book called Think and Grow Rich. And she's like, okay. So she got me this copy and it had like the brown and black cover.
Yes.
And I remember driving to Arizona from Florida, just reading this Think and Grow Rich. And I literally, Carrie, spent the next month just like on the couch playing solitaire. My mom got me a new iPhone as well for my birthday. So I'm playing solitaire, watching 2.5 men doing nothing. I've just spent 3 months in rehab, and I'm like, I'm going to write a book, and then I'm going to speak all around the world. And like, I'm not writing this book at all. Wow. I'm just basically playing solitaire and watching 2.5 men. And then after about a month of that, I go, okay, I'm never allowing games on my phone again. And I'm going to work on my book every day. I got a job working as a bellman at one of the nicest hotels in Sedona. And so I started to put my life back together, and working in hospitality made me come out of my shell, made me interact with people, really like built a solid foundation living in Sedona for a year. And as I was doing that, Carrie, one day a week, I volunteered at a horse equine therapy program where we had autistic kids riding. So like literally on my days off, I would go do that for one day. And then another day, on a day off, I would go to Toastmasters at 7 a.m., 30-minute drive away, 7 a.m. on like Monday morning. And I went every single week for a year. And so I knew that if I went to Toastmasters, I would be able to be a speaker as I'm writing this book, because the vision was, as soon as I finish the book, I'm going to start speaking. And this is something that obviously, so let me backstep. I don't even know what day it is. I've literally been on the road for the last 5 weeks.
I think it's Tuesday.
Yeah, so today is Tuesday, the 25th of January. For those of you who are listening at a later date to timestamp this, on Saturday, I did a speech at this amazing center in Jacksonville, Florida, that my friend founded, who I met at a Mastermind EO event when I spoke in Thailand in 2016. Mm. But he's built this amazing center. It's one of the most tech savvy buildings in the world, and they have this one room where we were standing in there, and we were in Petra, and so there's screens around us. It's a big room, and then he took us to the White House, and we're standing in the White House, and this is obviously, it's fairly premature for metaverse and stuff, but it's amazing. And what he's going to do is host weddings there. And the people getting married can be anywhere they want to in the world and have 50 people in this room at their wedding.
Oh my gosh.
In Jacksonville, Florida. Cool.
Can you say the guy's name?
Yeah. So his name is Raghu. I have no idea, but it's called The Link. So all
Link in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Florida. Okay.
And so his concept is obviously time is our most valuable resource. So he wants the entire family to be able to go to The Link. And the kids go to a martial arts class, and the dad goes and learns about NFT, and the mom does a sewing class, and they do yoga. It's really an incredible space. So I was speaking there. Kids were doing on Saturday, they were doing a coding workshop. And what I told those kids is, most of them were between like 6 and 12. And I said, if you guys spend 30 minutes to 1 hour every single day studying and learning about coding, by the time you are 18, you will be making 6 figures.
Mm. Give them that vision. I love it.
Because if they learn Python now, which is the international language, they can do whatever they want. And they could build the metaverse. They could build NFTs. They could, you know, change the world. But it's putting – and most of these kids are going to play video games. And they're going to be in the metaverse. And they're not going to learn about it. And when they're 18, they're going to be like, oh my God, what do I do? And it's like, had they just spent, so let's say an hour a day, right? That's 365 hours a year times 10, it's 3,650 hours. That's all you need. And you're going to be making 6 figures for the rest of your life.
I love what you said, though. You introduced yourself as a creator. That's where most young kids and adults stop or fail. Is they see themselves only as consumers in the metaverse. But I'm with you, man. I saw metaverse and NFTs, and I immediately thought creator. And I think that's a very small part of the population that thinks that way. What do you think?
So my overarching brand is called Genius Creators, because we are all a genius at something. You could be a genius at publishing books. You could be a genius at the metaverse. You could be a genius at using Facebook. Obviously, Justin, our mutual friend, is a genius at investing.
Yes.
Right? And so we're all genius at something. And then we're all creating. We're creating this exchange. We're creating this relationship. We're creating potentially a meal. We're creating NFTs. We're creating opportunities. We're creating new ways of thinking.
Wow. I love it. Okay, cool, cool. So tell me what happened.
So Miami, yeah.
Yeah, in February.
So I have looked at the space and observed the space. And as Gary Vee says, 98% of NFT projects are going to fail. Here's why. They are run by creators and artists. And creators and artists occasionally are good business people, but most of the time they're not.
Mm.
And so I am building an NFT backed by some of the brightest minds and business people on the planet.
And I know, so you told me some of them. I was like, wow. Yeah, that's great.
And so the thing for me, Cary, is I published my first book at 25, almost a decade ago now. And it was one of those things I learned from my mom. And I remember growing up, she always said, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And I was fortunate enough to grow up at country clubs. And I was 12 years old playing Royal Ottawa with, you know, former prime ministers and executives in Canada. And I was a very shy kid, but I was just always around the conversation.
Mm.
And I would go skiing with my uncles. And one of my uncles was one of the top consultants at PwC. And another was at Bell Canada. So I was always, and my dad was an investment banker. So I was always around this conversation, just soaking it in.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I've had this exposure that most kids don't get.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, I was probably like 17, and you know, I was an entrepreneur and a serial entrepreneur. And then I started using drugs. So what does an entrepreneur do? They start selling drugs, and it's not my proudest phase of my life. But mm-hmm. within that, I really realized in order to have what I want, I need to become more outgoing because nobody's just going to hand me a silver platter.
Okay.
And so I remember at 25 years old, I met Joe Polish. Obviously a big Strategic Coach fan and really close. Yeah. He's got a
also struggled with addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I met him at an event that Brian Tracy was speaking, and The Wolf of Wall Street had just come out. And Joe, I'd seen an interview Joe did of Jordan Belfort. So I go up to Joe and I'm like, hey Joe, what's Jordan like? And you know, we had a couple minutes and everyone was like, what's Richard Branson like? What's Richard Branson like? And I'm like, no, I'm curious of Jordan Belfort. And we started talking about addiction. He gave me some resources. And so I'm this 25-year-old kid. And he goes, listen to my interview called The Magic Rapport Formula, episode 29 on the I Love Marketing Show. So I go home. I'm this 25-year-old kid. I listen to this episode, and it's basically his formula that how he becomes friends with the most influential people in the world. So the first thing I did, Cary, is I deployed those strategies on Joe.
I love it.
And I went to Walmart and I bought, he had a brand new Range Rover SUV. And that was my dream car. And so I buy some car wash and like a car wash hand thing. And I printed off a note, like some copy that I posted to the side of this car wash soap. And I mailed it to him. And I didn't hear from him for probably about 3 months. And then I was going to be working at this event with Sean Stevenson, one of his closest friends.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a Friday night. It's like 7 p.m. And I get this phone call. And it's a Phoenix number. I'm like, hey, this is Gordon. And he goes, hey, Gordon, it's Joe Polish. I don't know how I missed this, but like your package here, I'm so impressed. Thank you so much. Are you going to be at Sean's event this weekend? Yes. Okay, we'll definitely connect there. And so I have used that strategy to become friends with some of the most influential people in the world. You know, and for any of the audience member, like I love posing this question is, who is somebody that you have access to just because you cold called them or you emailed them? You know, and
what do you think people's answer is?
Most people don't have an answer. Okay. Like it's not very good. Like I just got an email this week from Mark Cuban. Why?
Nice.
Because I emailed him And when he doesn't respond, I email him again. And when he doesn't respond, I email him again. And so usually on like the third time, he responds. And so, you know, we've probably had 10 emails back and forth because he's, you know, geeking out on the NFT space as well.
I love it.
You know, and this is what's covered in Joe's interview. It's all, how can I create value?
Yes. Right? How tell us the value? Name of that episode again. I love marketing.
Magic episode, Rapport Formula, episode 29.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge.
And so there's like a printout as well. And so I remember when I lived in Scottsdale and I wasn't in Airbnbs, I had this like printout on my wall of the Magic Rapport Formula.
It's so good.
But and like one of the things that Joe, you know, for any of the viewers, they can do it right now. It's just like creating value, right? Like I know a bunch of podcasters. I know a bunch of authors. Hey, you got a book coming out. Hey, so I look great for the podcaster and I look great for the author.
Yep.
It's an email for me.
Yeah.
Right. But it's thinking through, like, so we'll use Mark Cuban as an example. Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks. He's doing stuff in the NFT space. Okay, I'm doing stuff in the NFT space. How can I use Dallas Mavericks and NFTs to impact more kids, to empower them to create?
Wow. Wow. That's good. That's good. I'm writing down some of your thoughts here, man. This is really cool.
So for all your listeners, and I'm sure you figured this out, NFTs are not about the JPEG.
No.
NFTs are about the community.
That's right.
It's all about the community and the access that you get. And the reason why people are dropping $500,000 or $1 million for Bored Apes is because of the community. And they're in Discord with Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Mark Cuban, Tim Ferriss, Gary Vee, like all the people who own a Bored Apes. And then when Bored Apes is like, hey, we have our yacht club. Do you want to come to this party? Who are you going to be there with?
I love it. I love it. That's so good. So back to
Miami. Yeah. One of my good mentors who's taken a company public, he sold his first company to Microsoft in college, goes, you never want to be the first in the space. The first gets slaughtered.
That's good advice. Seriously.
So I'm not the first in the space, but I am going to learn. And so one of my other mentors goes, R&D does not stand for research and design. It stands for replicate and deploy.
Mm.
So I'm looking at all the best projects and I am taking the best pieces from all the best projects and I am doing my own project. And what we are creating is the world's most exclusive community. That your entry is some really awesome NFT art.
Fantastic.
But we know how to get celebrities in a room. We know how to get musicians. We know how to get politicians. We know how to get the most influential people. And so what our company does is we create once in a lifetime experience. And our NFT holders pay a premium, but they get to go backstage with, say, Justin Bieber, and we do like a private concert with Justin Bieber and our NFT holders at the Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
So the NFT is really a digital key that unlocks once in a lifetime experience.
So we are building a modern day country club, right? Like back when I was playing at the Royal Ottawa in Canada, membership was say $50,000. And that got you access to play and 500 other members. Another story, I was just at one of my business partners. His mom is a member at a really nice country club in Jupiter. So we went to yoga. And then we went and sat in the sauna. And then when I got out of the sauna, I was just sitting in the hot tub and this older guy, gentleman, starts chatting to me. Hey, do you play golf and this and that? Like, you look like a player. And comes to find out, he owns 14 car dealerships. Guess who's playing golf with him next week? Guess who's going to pitch him to do NFTs? For everyone who buys one of his cars, what is the first thing their customers want to do? Post that photo on social media and brag to their friends, I just got a new car. Well, we're going to take that photo and we're going to turn it into an NFT. So when they buy a car, they get an NFT as well.
That's fantastic.
What does the NFT unlock? Oh, you get 10% off an oil change. You get 10% off your next car purchase. Oh, we bring this driver in. We're doing this private event. But you have to have the NFT in order to come.
See, the way you're thinking is the way I'm thinking in terms of the author space. This is what I'm trying to get my authors to realize, is that you are content creators and you need to create experiences around your books. So I love what you're saying. What is your new book on? Is it on some of these topics?
Yeah, so I don't have a working title yet, but I am interviewing some of the biggest people in the NFT space. And so we're going to have video content when I interview them.
Yes.
That can potentially be a podcast. That can potentially be a course.
Yes.
And a book.
So good. Do you have a publisher yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bomber. Yeah, there's a publisher that I've worked with a couple times.
Because you know, I'm Justin's publisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys crushed it. Number one, Wall Street Journal.
Well, I was just saying, man, like, if you already got a publisher, but
talk to me. I already have a deal.
But talk to me when you come to the marketing, though, because I can tell you think big, and there'll be a way to position that book. But congrats. And that comes out in June?
Yeah, so that's going to be June 3rd. We're releasing it in the Middle East. So our second – so we're releasing in – and we're starting in Miami on February 22nd. It's going to be that collection. There's going to be 2022 pieces of art. And then on June 3rd,
yes,
we're releasing in the Middle East. And so that's going to be the second. And then we are going to LA, and we're releasing in LA August 26th. And then we go to Asia on November 11th is going to be that release. I haven't finalized what the whole collection this year, but one of the really awesome things that we're doing, and this might shift, so you know, we haven't completely finalized this, but if you own one of the first NFTs in Miami, you own the Middle East, you own LA, you own Asia, we are going to have a prize of at least $1 million, probably $5 million for someone who has all four of those. Is going to go in a drawing, and then somebody will win. We're leaning towards $5 million. Obviously, like the team and the board and the advisors are
approving this.
But that's, you know, our big thing is, how do we create the most incredible group of people creating the future?
It sounds exciting. How can we find more about you and follow this?
Yeah, so the main overarching website is geniuscreators.org. The NFT is so that has all the companies that we run and we have in the portfolio. The main NFT website is geniuscreators.xyz. And so that is where you can go.
Why do you think XYZ is becoming such a popular domain?
Because it's the people in the crypto NFT space are like, this is what we want. And, you know, NFT, they do have .NFT. I believe it's like $400 per year. I was actually talking with one of my close friends. He's like, all right, let's buy let's buy NFT, .NFT. It's about 180,000 to get the rights for that. But someone already done it.
Wow. I love this. Perfect. This is huge. What do you want our audience to know? We got a few minutes left. What do you want them to know in terms of, gee, you know, last May you entered the space. Now you're thinking cars with NFTs and Asia. What would you tell someone who's like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed?
Yep. So here's the big thing is I'm looking at this on an 11-year cycle.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Like, I'm not trying to make a quick buck now. And this is why 98% of them are going to fail. And we're going to have a bust. It's going to be like the internet in 96 and 99 that, you know, you can pick up Amazon for a couple of pennies, and we're going to get Bored Apes for, you know, the cheapest Bored Ape right now, we'll say, is 250,000. Like, we're going to eventually be able to pick up Bored Apes for 25,000. And we're going to be able to pick up CryptoPunks for that. You won't be able to pick up any Genius creators for that inexpensive, because in our smart contract, like there's an application process and you can't sell it for the first year. You know, we are very strategic. Like, we want long-term investors. We want long-term buyers.
Wow.
You know, we are going to be the most expensive NFT in the history of NFT when we mint. Like, it's not, we're not going to be giving away like CryptoPunks a couple years ago, and it's not going to be super low like Bored Apes when they first started. We are going to be expensive. And I mean, you know, working with Justin, like, you know, his mastermind is $50,000 a year and they're sold out. Which is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and our clients, they want once in a lifetime experiences and they can afford to pay for it.
That's so good. But you're stacking the value from the front end is what I hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just to say, use round numbers, is I'm going to deliver over $1 million of value for $100,000. And so we're going to price it basically at $100,000, and see what happens.
Wow. And you can hear your heart that you're not in it to make a buck. You are in it to 10X the value. That's why you're going to be unique. And unlike people who are, hey, let's see how much we can get out of people, a totally different approach. I love the Joe Polish thing that you said too.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, what we are going to do is 50% of all the money that we raise, we are going to invest in companies doing really amazing things with, you know,
that 360.
Create 360. Wow. Right? Like, companies doing psilocybin stuff. And, you know, like, you and I can afford to go to the Amazon and work with shamans, but the person who's homeless can't. So how do we get that person who's homeless into psychedelic therapy? Or how do we get that person that's homeless? Like, I've been homeless. You know, I was a 20-year-old. I spent my 20th birthday in jail. I was homeless. You know, I was almost murdered. You know, so how do we, last year there were 100,000 overdose deaths in the US alone. There were 47,000 suicides. How do we lower that? It's not through charity.
Mm.
It's through investing in companies that we get measurable results and scale it.
You are definitely a unique dude. Have you been told that before?
Yeah. A lot of my friends call me their most interesting friend.
That is true. Well, I love the way you think. I knew that. Yeah, now I totally get it. Now it's all coming back. We were in a chat and I was totally catching your vision. You were catching mine. I'm like, I gotta interview you. I'm so glad I did. So I wrote this down, geniuscreators.org.
Yeah. So if you want to just send my team an email, anyone listening, it's just connect@geniuscreators.org. So connect@geniuscreators.org. If you need anything, just the team is super, super responsive.
Yeah.
And then my personal email is gb@geniuscreators.org. So, I know your followers are very loyal, so I don't have to. I might not say that on the Tim Ferriss podcast, but I'm happy to have anyone. You know, if you guys are thinking about books, I've done two books. Happy to, you know, really think through. We're working on a couple of products. We're working on a couple of, obviously, like, you guys do a great job of, you know, Justin's launch and,
yes,
you know, do a book and an NFT. And, you know, as I was listening to Gary Vee yesterday, and he goes, right now, every business has to be on social media. By 2025, every small business will have to have an NFT
and metaverse.
I'm very scared about the metaverse.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different conversation.
Sure.
But I'm all about in-person.
I get you. Experiences. I get you. So look at Twitter. Twitter just, you know, I already have my profile as an NFT. They just rolled that out last week. Facebook's going to roll it out. But yeah, I agree. Digitization of assets is where
I'm debating putting for Twitter my fake Third Eye Apes or the real Third Eye Apes. And that's what I was saying earlier, my second NFT purchase was a fake NFT. that I bought on OpenSea. And ultimately, like, it was a real JPEG, but I don't get access to the community. And I was, at the time, I was like one of four people that got scammed. So we're creating a product right now, basically a checklist of, before you buy an NFT, here's the checklist to go through. So you don't get scammed. You know, it cost me $500. But, you know, we'll turn that into a very successful top of funnel.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, Gordon, it was amazing chatting with you. I took a whole page of notes, all different angles so I could fit it in there. But really appreciate you. And we're going to follow this project.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll chat soon.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.